Okay, so radio with your family. I'm Hendrik, and this is another episode of
Theatre Bitches.
There we go. welcome to my friend Marie de Toy, South African actress, musician, troublemaker.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
There we go. And we recently went to see a production in Cape Town at the Artscape Theatre.
Yes.
Presented by Cape Town City Ballet. It's a production of Sleeping Beauty. And that's what we're going to talk about in this episode today. And we're going to chat about various aspects of the production. So,
wonderful.
First of all, your general impression of the evening?
Ooh, I hadn't been to a ballet in many years, so I was amazed anew, like a little girl. But it was a lovely evening, beautiful, yeah. Professional, stunning, slick. Excellent.
And interesting exhibition in the foyer as we came in.
Yes, there were these gymongous works of art, beautiful works of tutu, all based on brilliant photographs, journalistic art. So the combination was absolutely fabulous, something brand new. Yeah.
And well-dressed audience as well, all ready for the ballet there.
You look quite dapper as well in your suit.
Yes. Well, go and look on my Instagram, you'll see what she's talking about.
Very nice.
So we're going to talk about this production a little bit, talk about the dancers, the sets, the lighting, you know, all the usual things that make up a production, and give our very humble opinion about all of those.
We'll try.
Well, okay. And I give you an indication whether it's worth to go and see and support or not. I can give you a hint.
It is.
Oh, yes.
And then, of course, there was this incident that happened during the show. The incident in row, what was it?
Oh, it could have been B, it could have been C.
Ah, okay. But So we'll tell you what happened. It was quite the drama. But that's all coming up in this episode of Theatre Bitches here on Gay Sir Radio, where you are family. But first, we're going to listen to some music. And of course, if you want to know what song is playing, it is as easy as opening the app on your phone. That's the Gay Sir Radio app that you can get on iTunes or on Google Play. And just look at the playlist there and you'll see which songs we are playing. Of course, we only play LGBTQ+ artists, icons and allies. So here we go. And we'll be back in just a moment.
Did you miss something on Gay SA Radio? Well, you can always listen to the podcast. Just go to the website, gaysaradio.co.za, click on podcasts, scroll down, and listen to your heart's content. Gay SA Radio, where you are family.
Gay SA Radio, we are family. I'm Hendrik, and we are in the thick of Theatre Bitches. Our review show where we talk about all things artistic and theatre-wise and, you know, snobbish.
Very la-di-da.
Very la-di-da. So what could be more la-di-da than the theatre, than the ballet?
Indeed.
My heavens. Okay, so we're talking about Cape Town City Ballet's production of Sleeping Beauty. Now, that's a classic, isn't it?
What a wonderful fairy tale. It never grows old.
Well, it is quite old. I mean,
but it will always make you feel young again. There's like a childlike innocence that comes through that story. And the one thing that especially us grown-ups strive for is the happy endings. Mm-hmm. Oh, hell. We really do strive for happy endings. And it does indeed bring that feeling of, there is magic out there.
Magic, yes. What happened the next morning with the dishes and whatever? I don't know. But so beautiful, beautiful story and beautiful music, of course, by Tchaikovsky.
Fantastic soundtrack. Oh, that orchestra was magic.
Yes, we're certainly going to talk about the Cape Town. Is it the Philharmonic?
I think it is. They were.
The Cape Town Philharmonic Orchestra accompanying the production. Very rare to see live orchestra with ballet, and I think it's a trend that's seemingly coming back because it has been done before in Johannesburg. I've been to a few productions of Joburg Ballet where under the same conductor the Joburg Orchestra was playing, and it's magical. It's magical when you have somebody
Yeah. It really brings theatre to life on more levels.
It's so incredible to think, like, I mean, how many people in total in a production like that? I mean, the orchestra is probably like 40, 50 people.
Yeah, it's gymnastics.
And then the cast was huge, I must say. Yes, it was a very large cast. I spoke to somebody from Joburg Ballet, and they'd recently done the production, and they were very jealous by the number of people on stage. They had four fairies. No, here they had six. So it was interesting to also, because having seen that production, to also kind of weigh up the two and go, you know, yes. I've seen this before. Because when we get into choreography and those sort of things later, I think there's also sort of standard choreography that one can see through these things. Anyway, so
Well, okay. First of all, if I have to see as an audience member the marriage between the orchestra in the pit and these fantastic dancers on the stage, it was like there was a marriage between them. It really was like a bit of a love story between the instruments and the movement. And that all in all really showed me good artistry. That was a new word for me. It was so just brilliant, really, really.
Interestingly, conductor Brandon Phillips, who was also conducting in Johannesburg, apparently, my son is a ballet dancer at Joburg Ballet, so I get the inside scoop. Uh-huh. You know? Apparently, when the British lady was here who choreographed their last production, she spent quite a bit of time also helping him and showing him, because obviously he didn't have a lot of experience. And I could certainly tell the difference in the way that the music worked very closely with the dancers. There were one or two where they missed their beats at the end, but generally it was spot on, spot on, spot on.
Absolutely. Although, I mean, I can't even walk spot on half the time, so can you imagine? Oh, my goodness.
So we want to talk about the dancers in much more detail, because obviously a fabulous cast on stage there.
And beautiful. Ooh, I was in love with every second dancer that pranced across that stage.
And then, of course, there was that incident in ILC, which almost brought the whole thing to a standstill. We will definitely talk about that in just a moment.
Yes, it kept me awake at night.
But let's take a little break and go back to the music. We'll be back in just a moment with some more talk on Theatre Bitches here on GaySA Radio, where you are family.
Do you want to meet the person who can introduce you to your next client? Net Your Niche is an online networking platform that reduces the time, money, and effort of traditional marketing and allows you to focus on what truly matters. Meeting someone who can refer you to the exact person you're looking for. No more calling secretaries and being put on hold. Sign up today at a 20% discount and make sure you don't miss out on meeting new clients any longer. Visit us on nyn.co.za or call us on 012-947-9599.
GaySA Radio, where you are family. I'm Hendrik here in studio in Cape Town, and with me, my dear friend Marie de Toy. We're talking about Sleeping Beauty, the production recently on stage. Or will still on stage, we hope, by the time you hear it. Just check the website. You'll certainly see some more news on our blog there. That's gsaradio.co.za. Certainly worth going to see because of the quality of the dance.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, wow. No, look, really, if you want to see something unforgettable, book your tickets now. Really, it is a lovely show.
So,
fantastic.
Like every ballet, you have various casts. It's not one cast like, you know, in drama shows. We have one, maybe an understudy or two, but off you go when you do that. Because ballet is so demanding on the body, you know, obviously they can't do that every night, especially the principals. So we saw Precious Adams as Princess Aurora. Mm-hmm. And as we saw, we thought she was local with a name like Precious Adams.
Yeah, I did. From Michigan. She's from Michigan.
Wow. Mm. So, and beautiful. And
yeah, oh, gorgeous. Yeah, lovely.
Excellent dancer. And in the role of Prince Florimond was South African Andile Ndlovu. Now, interestingly, he, as I said earlier to you before we started off as a ballroom dancer and then found ballet late in his life and has now turned out to be this excellent dancer who's now dancing for Washington Ballet.
Yeah, you see, it shows if it's in you and you grab it, then so, you can go.
Marie, what did you think about the chemistry between the two?
I found it quite credible, actually. Mm-hmm. I thought that whenever they were in each other's presence, they really only had eyes for each other. So I liked that. Mm-hmm. I believed that. It really looked like true love. And you don't often find that. You know, often you'll have brilliant acting or brilliant dancing, but there's like zero chemistry. But no, it was really rather romantic.
Mm-hmm. Who's your favorite of all the dancers and all the characters, the one that sort of stood out for you?
Oh, my gosh. You're going to think I'm weird, right? but okay, I really love the principals. But there's a tiny, teeny, tiny little character who dances like a dream. And I believe she was a bluebird.
Okay, that is Princess Florine and the Bluebird.
Yes, I mean, everybody was brilliant. But when she came onto the stage, she really flapped like a little bird. And, oh, she made me smile. And I like to smile. I love to smile. And she was one dancer that really stood out for me.
Mm-hmm. That's Shante Daniels, I think her name is.
Good on her.
I was dancing with Stephen Underwood in the production we saw. Yeah, there was quite... But, you know, this is also kind of a difficult ballet because... Acts 1, 2, and 3 is mainly walking.
Yes.
With style on point. And then the real dancing only happens once, you know, they've all woken up 100 years later when suddenly dancing seems to be very popular. And ballet seems to have progressed a lot in the past 100 years.
Yes. Yeah.
So I don't know if it's also kind of an analogy for the history of ballet, but it's only the spectacular pieces that come at the end.
Yes, although I must say with the flap movements in the beginning, there were a few faces that really helped tell the story. And what did you say was the bloke who was doing all the announcements?
Oh, the master of ceremonies.
Yes, he was good. I mean, whenever he came up, he looked very businesslike, took his job very seriously. With that gimungous wig and all the powder and rouge.
Johnny Bovang.
Very nice, very lovely acting. Yeah, he kind of glued it together for me there.
And what was very special is a special appearance on stage from somebody who'd been a fantastic dancer many years ago and gone into retirement.
Edward Greiling.
Wow.
Oh, my word. That
now, you were quite the fan in the day, weren't you?
Yes, I had ballet books and all goeterkies, and I had a Phyllis Spira poster against my wall, and then I had an Edward Greiling poster where he was like kind of doing this twirly tippet nose. I don't know what. It was just a fantastic pose mid-air. I thought, gosh, if a man could do that for me, darling. Anyway, and to see him years later, somebody actually pointed out to me, I didn't recognize him as the king, royal, stately, with his full beard. I thought, well, Edward, you have changed, darling, but lovely. I mean, he was so in command of that role, and he had very limited movement, but he was magical. Mm. He really was lovely.
It was nice. It gave it a kind of an authority. You know, there was somebody with experience and years of, you know, the king.
I wonder how the younger dancers felt dancing in, you know, in the midst of such, ballet royalty, basically. Mm-hmm. It must have felt a bit overwhelming at times, I think. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, what's Edward thinking now of my of my plié?
And then there were, at the other end of the spectrum, a few kids in the production as well, which are quite cute. With the little wigs and they're running up with their little gifts and up and down.
Yes, they were the gift carriers.
Yes, they were very sweet.
Cute, John.
So all in all, I think the dancing we could rate quite highly. It was
fantastic.
Yeah. Generally, I think the company looks very good.
Yes,
and,
what is amazing? I think those dancers knock themselves out in their rehearsals, mm-hmm. and I don't think people really appreciate every time they float up into the sky, how many times they probably had to fall on their faces during rehearsals. So,
that's true. No.
Fantastic.
We don't know how much work goes into putting up a ballet like this.
No idea.
It's years of experience in everyday classes, and it's such a harsh discipline. You know, it's not easy to be... in the ballet industry, if we could call it that.
I can only imagine.
Yeah. So anyway, okay, so let's talk next. We're going to talk about, we had a whole plan here. Let me see.
But we have to talk about that incident.
Yeah, that we're definitely going to talk about. But coming up, we're also going to talk about the sets and the lighting because I think it played a very special role in the production.
Yes, yes.
That's all coming up right here on Gaze Radio, where you are family. Stay right where you are.
Like any good radio station, Gay SA Radio has an extensive blog, which is updated almost daily. We even have a blogger that writes articles just for you. Come and visit gaysaradio.co.za.
Gay SA Radio, we are family. I'm Hendrik here with Marie. We're talking theatre bitches and a sleeping beauty from Cape Town City Ballet. Please go to our website, gaysaradio.co.za, and just click there on the article link and you'll see the article we wrote about the ballet and all the dates and so on. It is still on until September, I believe, of 2019. Okay, so we've been talking about the production and what we thought about it. Costume and... we're talking about lighting and sets.
Yes.
Ah, so...
Very, very glamorous set.
Very old-fashioned kind of theatre.
It reminded me of opera, didn't it? Like very larger than life. I think of opera and ballet.
I think it's a very, very... very traditional ballet kind of setting and way of designing it, I think, with a
with the archers and the high, very storybook.
Yeah.
Very much storybook. No, the lighting was fascinating because of, what was it exactly? Was it kind of like a gauze material that they had the set painted on? Because there was lighting embedded behind that somehow.
No, that was a light from the top, but there was a special light that, that kind of moves. I don't know if you remember the old days, we had those ones. These modern lights.
For the waterfall.
Yeah, for the, so it creates the impression that there's a waterfall on a flat painted piece of fabric. It's amazing.
That was wonderful.
And there was the other moment also when
the thorns start growing around the castle, yes.
Yeah, that's some beautiful effects. I must say the general lighting of the dancers, because with dancers you don't light them from the front, you light them from the sides.
Yes. Which,
you know, that's a whole different technique of lighting dance as opposed to drama or opera or something like that. And yeah, I think it was all quite visible and people could, I mean, no real... spots where you couldn't see what the hell was happening. Or something.
No, it was very good. Beautiful. You know what I found interesting? Sorry, it's a bit of a backtrack, but the Evil Queen had extremely shimmering outfit on, and the lighting captured her in a different way. I think if she had just been set in black, we probably wouldn't have seen her moves as well. So good on the choreography and the lighting and the costume design for the old baddie, because she really was rather bad and very visible. And quite striking in the lighting.
I mean, but also the whole, because this is the story. Now, the thing happens, they sleep for 100 years, they wake up, it's a different century.
Yes.
And the costumes also kind of reflected that in a way. So, I mean, we can talk about the costumes as well, I suppose, because it's all one thing, set design, costume design, all the design things. Because it also blended in for me so beautifully within the set. It wasn't like it's...
Yes.
Sometimes you have like a set that's one thing and a costume that...
And it screams.
Yeah, yeah, it doesn't gel. This did work really well. I mean, the amount of costumes, the number of things that they had.
It was incredible. Especially the group dancers when they went off and then they come back as another group. No, it was really lovely. One fine day in the middle of the night. Oh, you know what I want to also say is the handling of props was also lovely. The props were nice and large. I mean, they were like floral garlands and flowers, and it was really lovely. The way you were talking about gelling costumes and movements and the set and the lighting and then the props, everything really fell together nicely. It is a beautiful picture to watch.
I said to you in the evening, it felt a little bit like being in a time machine and going back to a theater like 250 years ago.
Were you there?
It was the weirdest thing. It felt like the whole production felt like we could have just been in 1850 or somewhere, you know, and watching the original or whenever it was produced. It was that kind of an authentic interpretation of it. It didn't try to be modern. It didn't try to be fancy in any way. It used modern technology to create that old-fashioned feeling. And
absolutely.
Like an old ballet we're looking at. A little view into the past.
Yeah, it was magical, really magical. And also, I think because it's such a beloved old fairy tale, they really did it justice that way. No, awesome.
Awesome. Beautiful. Okay, cool. So, of course, accompanied by a live orchestra, the Cape Town Philharmonic. So we're going to talk about, are they any good? Did they help? Did they break it down? Of course, they were any good. Fantastic. So we're going to talk about the music and all of that in just a moment. And, of course, the beautiful soundtrack by Mr. Tchaikovsky himself, the greatest queer of history. I don't know. There's a few of them. And then...
Yeah, I'll be careful now what you say.
That incident shocked me so much. It took my attention away from the
I don't actually know what went on the stage for quite a bit.
Do you think the people in the audience on stage were aware of that?
Well, if they were, they kept on going very professionally.
It was the incident in Row C. That's, of course, what we're talking about. We'll tell you exactly what happened there in just a few moments. But let's take a break. I think we need some more coffee and tea on this side.
Oh, yes.
You listen to some music, and we'll chat to you in just a moment.
Gay SA Radio is an online radio station, and we stream through the internet. And many people say, but what about my data? Well, it only takes 30 megabytes per hour to listen to Gay SA Radio. Now compare that to YouTube or Facebook and you will know Gay SA Radio is affordable. Gay SA Radio, where you are family.
Gays Radio, we are family. I'm Hendrik, and we're talking theatre bitches. We're talking Sleeping Beauty, the ballet by the Cape Town City Ballet. With me is Marie de Toy. Marie, we are talking now about the orchestra, the Cape Town Philharmonic Orchestra. Mm. Now, can I start by saying I got this one brochure in the theatre called Concerto, which has got all their concerts and lines. Oh, and yes. I am desperate to go and spend a night at the symphony, you know, like go and listen to some great music. So what a treat to have a live orchestra in the pit playing for this production.
Oh, well, first of all, they all looked very smart. Mm-hmm. They all looked the part, you know. I've seen some orchestras very, very down-dressed. So it was lovely. It felt very fancy. Then, of course, seeing the conductor's hand stick out every now and then, working through those instrumentations. I mean, it is fantastic. My favorite, of course, is usually the percussion.
Mm-hmm.
Every time the cymbals got knocked, I was all excited. No, it really was quite dramatic. It was a lovely change from watching a show with backing tracks. Mm.
And obviously more challenging for a dancer to work to, because if you have a backtrack, you know exactly the music's going to be the same every single time. When it is live, it's...
Yeah, you're taking a chance.
It's a conversation, isn't it, then, between dancer and conductor.
Especially, you know, if somebody accidentally knocks over the harp or something, you know, then you're stuck with a crisis. So I can imagine also the levels of stress and concentration that just come, that aura of heaviness that has to be lightened up with music. I mean, I cannot imagine the amount of stress that every single performer goes through, because they have to gel from every note, and every step has to gel. Now, I think the orchestra was fabulous. They really did a fantastic job.
No, they did. It was so beautiful. I mean, the music to start with is so beautiful. And if you just do it beautifully like they did, it becomes magical.
Yes, and the balance. I mean, it was really lovely. You kind of felt like you were sitting in the music, which is very, very nice, very magical.
And then the whole thing, of course, staged by Denise Schulze-Godfrey. Now, if you read in the program, it's an amazing story. This woman has been doing ballet her whole life and has an incredible CV and loads of history and lots of experience in staging the classics, apparently, which is very clear. She knows how to do that.
Yes, absolutely. You know what I liked is that every corner and every length and width of that stage was utilized. So it's not like you're wondering, oh, what is that little dark patch there in the corner? The dancers worked that stage from beginning to front. Yes, the blocking of the movements, it was very, very well done. I really enjoyed that. It felt alive. And I think that's quite a big deal for someone, you know, working through the stage, blocking the choreography, knowing that you've got to keep an audience focused in one area, but not leave a stage dead in other areas. That must have been very difficult to do.
That must have been very hard because of the size of the cast again. Mm. I mean, there was a lot of people to choreograph around that. So, I mean, classical ballet like this obviously comes with a kind of a standard choreography. You know, it's been choreographed 100 years ago by somebody whoever. I'm not enough of a balletomane to know all of that detail.
No, me neither.
I know that word. But, you know, and so I honestly can't say what the history is, and I haven't really researched it as the really great presenter that I am.
You are indeed.
But because when I saw the Joburg production and I saw the Cape Town production, there was choreography that looked exactly the same. So it's obviously their standard thing.
Yes.
But I think also that there are probably moments that they change things or, you know, adapt it to the dancers and so on.
Possibly, yes.
But, I mean, just what a beautifully choreographed evening it was.
The movements were really lovely.
Oh, and some beautiful moments, especially in the last act when we get to see all the fancy
fancy guests at the wedding.
Yes.
Beautiful, beautiful. Mm. Yeah, I did feel like every arm movement had its reason and every head turn had its reason. Yes, it was rather overwhelming at times, actually, thinking, wow, what did they fit all those steps into that little beat of music? It was great. No, really, really lovely.
Because for me, ballet is like it's like gymnastics in a way, you know. It's like so athletic, the things they get up to. It's incredible.
And they make it look so easy.
Yeah, but, you know, I'm standing on my toes and turning, jumping in the air and jumping and turning three times and landing perfectly on my toes again.
I only make moves like that by accident, you know. But especially the males, oh my word. You know, usually the poor males are just standing there with their little ball box in the corner, and then they do a few, and they do lifts and stuff.
And get these, the tutu all up in their face.
They were astounding. They were astounding. Their choreography was lovely. So
just when you say that, I do want to say that some of the senior soloists in this production was really great, especially Craig Pedro stood out for me personally as really having a lot of talent and a lot of drive.
Yes, yes.
So, yeah, I mean, the company generally really, really great. Okay, we're getting close to that... that moment that almost upset the whole evening, the incident in row C or somewhere there. That's coming up in just a moment here on Gaze Radio with your family.
Hello, darlings. This is your Queen of the Skies, Kathy Specific here. For the first time in history, an all-gay vacation hits the shores of Africa. Proudly brought to you by AfriGay. Join myself and the seductively saucy trolley dollies as we take you to the beautiful island of Mauritius to experience magnificent sun, sea and surf, a few decadent parties and the chance to make fabulous friends from all over the world. This unique event will be hosted by South Africa's aviation goddesses and your tantalizingly tempting poster girls for travel. For more information, buckle up, bitches, and book your spot at gaysayradio.co.za.
Gaze Radio, we are family. Hendrik here. And we're coming to the end of our chat here about the production we saw in Cape Town, Marie.
Sleeping Beauty. Beautiful.
Lovely, lovely production. And so good to see that cities are supporting ballet. I mean, Joburg is supported by the municipality, Cape Town, certainly city, ballet. And we ended up at the after party with a special guest, did we not?
Wow. Because we're special. Well, you are. I just kind of wandered in behind you.
No, but you set that whole thing up. So afterwards, there was this whole function catered by...
the Phantom of the Opera. And I don't know who catered. Oh, you know what? It was Food Lovers.
Food Lovers Market.
Oh, wow. Yeah, they were brilliant. Yeah.
With a chocolate fountain and everything. So Marie, well, first we dash for the wine. Then Marie dashes for the table. I dash for that chocolate fountain. And go back to Marie and go, hi. Oh, she's standing with people. Hi. Nice to meet you. Nice to meet you. And who does it turn out to be?
Oh, well, the Mayor of Cape Town. And the Minister of Cultural Affairs and Sports. And yes, I felt totally outclassed, but what lovely people. And you know, it was amazing for me to see the kinds of people that came to the ballet. Because yes, now we had the VIPs and the la-di-das, but when you looked around, you were in the auditorium, we're doing the breaks, it was everybody and anybody, and they're all dressed to the nines. Mm. Ooh, there was a lot of bling. Mm. A lot of bling, a lot of uncomfortable shoes. And
including yours.
Mine were disgusting. But, but I really liked that. Thank you. It was really, like you were saying earlier about the old-fashionedness and almost going back in time. It felt like that in terms of what the people were wearing as well. It wasn't the old jeans and tacky theater experience. It was really lovely. Everybody dressed for the occasion, and it made it even more magical.
I must just say, I was very impressed because with the conversation I had there with the mayor, I found out we shared a passion.
What was that fountain?
he couldn't stop. He went back again and
sweet
again.
Sweet on the lips, you know, on the hips. No. Oh, but lovely, lovely people.
No,
lovely.
Generally a great evening, and thank you very much to Artscape and the Cape Town City Ballet for inviting us to that. So the incident in row C.
Yes.
So that happened. When exactly did that happen? I can't remember. It was kind of early on in the evening.
It was, I think, after the first break.
Act two then.
Yes. Yeah. So, well, what happened was I just saw something out of the left corner of my eye happening slightly in front of me. And suddenly the ballet grew dim. And my attention was drawn to total freaking pandemonium. It was chaotic.
It was weird because we were sitting, we were watching the ballet, and then suddenly these people, this woman, there was a commotion there with a woman, and then she stood up And you know when somebody wants to go out in the middle of a show, yes, everybody's got to pop up so yes, to get past yes. you, because somehow theatres are not designed for more than just your knees. So everybody's got to pop up. So there's these people popping up in front of us. One of those women's sort of kind of half
thank
staggering.
You, pardon me, thank you. Yeah. Well, she fell over like
and
like
then she
a
fell
pillar.
Over. Like she yes. just passed out there.
And you know, from the music and the cymbals this side, a little, ooh, no, in front of us, that was a bit, yeah.
And then, of course, the husband had to come past, and then everybody had to pop up again. And now, and that's the point where I thought, do you think people on stage are seeing there's something wrong here? Because now this woman has passed out, and she's lying in the aisle yes. there. Her husband's come there. And then all our attention was, of course, directed there. We missed, like, I don't know.
You know what I found hilarious? I mean, there were like 5-6 people involved with this poor woman. I really don't know what happened. She had like
she became involved
something.
In all sorts of things.
But then you see this bottle of still water being passed down somewhere from the right and da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
A little pop-up, here comes the water.
People. So it was a very, very dramatic moment for all.
And throughout that, I was wondering if there is a doctor in the audience, because there used to be, we were talking earlier.
Yes, well, I mean, I knew in the old days when we performed in certain theatres, you know, if there was a crisis, we've had pregnant ladies faint or an old man get a heart attack, truly, seriously. And then it was easy to say, house lights, please, where's the doctor? And they take care of the situation. I think it would have taken more than a doctor that night. We probably would have needed paramedic crew, because it was really a lot going on there.
They seemed to have taken her out at some point, though, hey?
Yes, yes. And quite a few people left with her. So it was a kind of a little bit of a bald patch there for a while.
Interesting. What do you do when you get into trouble in the theatre? I mean, you were saying somebody shouting in a production you were in.
Yes, yes, you suddenly hear, help, help. And I was like, oh dear, what do? You stop the show. Mm-hmm. But I don't think the ballet people could do
I
that.
I don't think you could stop no. 200
Wave
people.
Wave your hands and say,
well, if the conductor did that, maybe.
Yes. No, but, no. I think they went on very well. Yeah. So
well, I don't think
people,
you can stop a production like that. Oh, my God.
Didn't drop a smile. Didn't drop a beat. Yeah. So my eyes were flashing a bit from left to right there. But from what I gathered, those professionals just kept going. It was really, really good.
Lovely, lovely evening out. If you can, and if it's still on by the time you hear this, please go and support. Otherwise, there's some more productions coming up. We'll tell you about that in just a moment. But let's take a break before we wrap all this up. I'm Hendrik for Gay SA Radio, where you are family.
In years gone by, we used to have portable radios. These days, we have smartphones. And you can listen to Gay SA Radio by downloading the app from the iTunes Store, from Google Play, or the BlackBerry app world.
Gays are ready with your family. Hendrik here and Marie, of course, chatting about Cape Town City Ballet, all things beautiful and talented here on this episode
of
Theatre Bitches. So,
absolutely.
Yeah,
lovely.
So we love the evening at Artscape and Sleeping Beauty. Thank you very much to everybody involved for a fantastic evening.
Yes,
and
yes.
Looking forward to what's coming up. Marie, what is coming up next?
Well, as far as I know, there's more ballet coming.
Ah, yes. Well, you would expect that from the City Ballet in Cape Town.
You know, I really appreciate you showing me the program so that I could read and sound intelligent, but I can't read a damn thing.
Well, it says, I don't know. How do you pronounce it? That's the first thing.
Satori. That sounds very, very glamorous.
A trilogy of ballets. Now, that's the kind of ballet I like. I mean, I do like classical. I do appreciate the classics and the great. I mean, there are some fantastic ones and there's some not so nice ones. But what I really like is kind of modern ballet, if I can put it that way. Like a modern. I mean, if you look at that picture, that's a beautiful girl in a what do you call it?
A leotard. Yes.
And it's very simple, and you can see she's gonna do something spectacular.
And you have like a strip bare stage, so it's all onto the dancer, and you. Free from sets, maybe, you know?
I like modern dance. It's like this modern. I love it when they throw themselves on this floor and they roll and they, you know, do all that nonsense with. And you can see these are classically trained ballet dancers, but they know how to use their bodies.
You got to know the rules to break them, eh? Hey?
Anyway, so Cape Town City Ballet presents Satori, a trilogy of ballets that's on at the Artscape Opera House between the 26th of October and the 10th of November in 2019. So, I'm sure you could go to their website and go check it out. It's artscape.co.za. That's probably the place to go and do all the bookings and check up all the productions coming up at the Artscape. Otherwise, you can just Google Cape Town City Ballet.
Yes, and please, you know, brush off that old suit and hang out that old dress of yours, because it's lovely to dress up.
It is.
We don't get ballroom dances or anything to go out to anymore, but the ballet, definitely. Go look fancy.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then have some food at Food Lovers Market.
Absolutely.
Support the ballet, so thank you for them. Lots of sponsors for the season also, if you look at the program. And I mean, making a ballet company like this viable is, obviously takes a lot of people and a lot of support to do that. So if you can support the ballet in any way, they have programs where you can donate money and all sorts of things. Get involved, people. Come on. Let's support ballet. It is such a beautiful art form. And something we haven't talked about, it's become so much diverse. I mean, it's not just the old Eurocentric white little pale girl dancing anymore. We've got people of color who are incredible.
Absolutely lovely. No, I really felt like this warm, fuzzy feeling when I saw all these beautiful, different kinds of people on the stage. And yes, our principal dancer being of color and our king being an old paley guy like me. And I mean, it was just so fresh, so lovely, so friendly to South Africa, so friendly to Cape Town. No, it was great.
Excellent.
Yes.
Marie, you always make such a great partner at the theatre.
Oh, thank you. You make such great coffee.
And we drink quite a bit of wine when we go there, so we really enjoy our nice house.
Yes, we do. It's worth every applause.
There we go. So we will certainly be going to the theatre soon. I'm going to see Marie's show soon, so I'll do a separate episode without her and tell you all about that.
Okay.
Of course, Marie performing all over the country. So, we'll get more insight into that quite soon in another episode. But we'll be back quite soon for another episode of Theatre Bitches.
I sincerely hope so.
Yeah, definitely. We are going to see some great theatre. Season is coming up and tourists are coming here in Cape Town. It's almost spring here as we are recording this. So, yeah, lots of things coming our way.
Yes, it's going to be great. And keep your eyes out for open air shows as well.
Oh, yes. No, we're going to do all of that. So, yeah, if you have a show that you want us to review or want us to know about so we can help you publicize it, please pop us an email, info@gaysaradio.co.za. And, I'll be in contact and we'll do as much as we can because we love the theater. We support live performance.
Hallelujah.
All the way. Yeah. That's the end of Theatre Bitches for this episode. Until we meet again, we'll have a great time.
Bravo.
I'm Hendrik for Gaysa Radio, where you are family.